Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, everybody. I am super excited to have my first guest, Lee Collins, back on again. Lee, the first time, if you haven't listened to his podcast, we talked about what was internet marketing. It was kind of, you know, really getting into the basics. But now we're going to get a little deeper and talk about strategy. So, Lee, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you today?
I'm fabulous, dude. So let's start off again with the backstory. And one of the stories that we didn't get into last time was you had a little health issue and it kind of changed your life and perspective. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I did, yeah. I actually had a widowmaker heart attack. So it's the big one. It's the one that you have 2 to 5% chance of living when you have this one happen to you. The quick nutshell story of it is I got up that morning and I went to jiu-jitsu class. It's the first class I've been to in a while. So when I felt a little bit tired after class, I thought that, you know, hey, I just haven't been in a while, so my body just needs to get reacclimated to the training. But on the drive home, I started to feel what I recognized as symptoms from a heart attack. I'd been a caregiver for some of my older relatives when I was young, and being that person, I knew the symptoms to look for, you know, the numbness in the arm, the tightness and the pain in the jaw, those kind of things. Actually showed up at my apartment. My son was staying with us for a little while at the time, and I asked him, I was running a company. We're going to talk a little bit about that probably later on. I was running a company downtown Atlanta. So I said to my son, you know, can you get dressed and go down to the office with me today? I'm not feeling well, and I think I may either be having a slight heart attack or I have the symptoms of possibly a bigger one coming on later. So we got dressed, and, you know, being a good Southern boy, Brian, my mom always taught me to have clean underwear no matter where I went. I just finished jiu-jitsu class. I was sweaty and dirty. I took the time to take a shower, put on clean clothes. We drove downtown. By the time I got downtown to the office, I was feeling pretty crappy. So I said, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor. And what do I do as a guy? As a guy, I say, hey, you know, maybe I just need to go lay down. And my son said, no, you should probably go to the doctor. You're not looking well. Went to the doctor's office and had the heart attack in the doctor's office. It was coming on. And I was waiting for them to just kind of have an opening for me. Because what do? I did the typical other typical guy thing. And I just went to the doctor and said, look, I'm not feeling well. I didn't say I think I might be having a heart attack, which would have been what I should have done. Wow. Instead, I just say, hey, I don't think I'm feeling well. And so I had to sit and wait. So the entire time frame from all this to happen was about 10 o'clock in the morning until about 2 o'clock when they finally got me to the back. Again, I was in the doctor's office, started having the heart attack. They rushed me to the ER. And that's actually where I found out that I had 100% blockage of my main artery. It was the widowmaker, the big one.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very interesting. And I was the thing that I really attribute to staying alive the entire time was I was meditating and just really keeping my focus and just really focusing on staying calm. The only time I started to get out of control with my heart rate or anything was when they were asking me my address, because, of course, they wanted to bill me for everything. So they wanted to know where I lived. When they asked me for my address, I got a little irritated at that because, you know, I was dying for all intents and purposes. It's a 2 to 5% chance of living. And so, I asked my son, just take care of that. I had a couple of critical points within the entire event that I think, was a big mistake. One, My wife, Natalie, she was out of town for the weekend at a retreat, and she was 6 hours away. So, of course, I didn't want to bother her with the fact that I might be dying. And so I didn't tell her anything until they wheeled me into or about to wheel me into the room where they were going to do the stent and everything for me. So I told my son, I said, hey, you know, Natalie's in Florida. I'd like you to give her a call, let her know what's going on. And again, keep in mind, this was between 10 a.m. to 2, so in 4 hours, I hadn't given her any indication of what was happening. And I said, I'd like you to tell her this, that if I die, because I knew that I had a chance of dying, and I said, if I die, tell her that she should stay there in Florida and do her retreat, because it's very important to her and her career. And if I'm dead, she doesn't need to come here, because I'm dead. It's okay, you know. And if I live, tell her, you know, also she doesn't have to come back from Florida, because I'm alive and I'm in a hospital and I'm well taken care of. And he just looked at me. He's 21. And he said, I'm not telling her that. And I'm like, okay, well, just tell her whatever you want. I'm going to go and get this taken care of. And they finally put me in the back. I tell you what, Brian, it was a very life-changing experience for me. Mm-hmm. And there are people that I meet at seminars and events nowadays one lady in particular, she met me in the hall and she said, are you Lee Collins? And she recognized me, but I have a beard now and I didn't have a beard before. I said, yes. And then she said, are you the Lee Collins who had this product and did these things? And I said, yeah. She's like, well, I just want to let you know I like you a lot better now than I did then. You just have a totally different way about you. And I said, well, thank you for recognizing that. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how it changed me. I don't really think that the heart attack changed me, but it allowed me to release all those things that had changed me into the person that I didn't even like sometimes, and allowed me the opportunity to be reborn. I felt that I was reborn on that table, that the minute the doctor opened up my heart valve and gave me that rush of blood, I felt like I could run a marathon. It was the most amazing thing that I'd ever felt in my life.
Wow.
And I actually said, wow, that feels good. I sit it right there on the table, and he said, Mr. Collins, you're going to need to calm down, because I'm still trying to save your life. We're not out of the woods yet. So I said, okay. So I calmed down, and I just watched everything happen on the monitor. I was fully awake the entire time. And again, it was just like breathing new life into me. I said, my wife, Natalie, she actually drove the 6 hours back. And on the trip, she called me, and we spoke for a few minutes. And this was probably critical error number 6 or 10 of the day at that point. And when I told her this, she said, you know, she was very frantic, very upset. And I said, Natalie, it's all okay. It's going to be fine. I said, but I just want you to consider. Now, before I say this, I'm going to say that I just wanted to try to get her to smile. And I said, I just want you to consider the fact that when you leave town, you break my heart.
Oh.
I'll tell you this. She didn't think it was very funny then.
No.
And here, over a year later, almost 2 years later, she still doesn't think that's funny. But, you know, I was under the influence of medication and painkillers and stuff at the time, so I attribute it to that. But I was just trying to make her smile, you know, let her know that everything was okay and to just drive safe, and when she got there, everything would be fine. But, yeah, I call it, you know, when I tell people about the heart attack and I tell them about the experience, the first thing they usually say is what? They say, oh, no, and they just get, you know, they put those feelings out, and to me those are negative feelings. I encourage people to look at it the way that I do, that it was the most interesting day of my life, and really allowed me to step into being in more integrity with myself and being the me that I really wanted to be all along.
See, that's awesome. I mean, I've heard a lot of life-changing stories where, you know, events like that really do reinvent you in a way. So from a business standpoint, I mean, now you're working obviously with a lot of large companies, and you were doing a lot of big deals. And I don't know if that was a transformation point where you started to say, you know what, I need to take control of my own destiny. Was that when you started to say I needed to reinvent myself as a business person too? And how did you do that?
It really was, because for the last 5 years prior to that, I'd gone through this very, very big divorce in 2010 and ended up having to shut down all my businesses. And while I was trying to decide what I wanted to do for me and for my businesses again, I just naturally did what I did best, which is help people with their businesses. You know, the claim to fame that I have is I can basically walk into any business. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of businesses, large and small, in over 42 different industries since 1999. And because of that experience, I can walk into pretty much any business and help them increase wherever they want to increase. So if they, you know, if they want to double their business in 6 months, that's really been kind of a specialty that I've had, is I actually quadrupled one person's business in within one single month. So it's just, you know, it's a skill set that I have that it's, you know, not being braggy or boasty or anything, but I can just feel what the business needs. You know, we sit down, we look at all the stuff, and then I can just see where they need to go and what they need to do. I think the specialty is finding the places where they're missing money. But yeah, really what it did for me is just, it really showed me that, you know, I enjoy working with these big businesses. Maybe I'll work with one or two a year, but what I really want to do is focus on me and focus on individual consulting and helping the little guy get to where they want to be versus helping these giant corporations, you know, double their business or add a zero or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So with these small businesses, let's say somebody's making six figures. And they want to increase, obviously, you know, low six figures, $10,000 a month. They want to get to $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 a month. Mm-hmm. What are some of the major hindrances that people are missing that they really need to think about in order to get to those places?
One of the biggest things I always run into is people are trying to do too many things at once. They look at success stories like Richard Branson and all the you know, even Trump, love him or hate him, he's got a lot of stuff in his pipeline. But one of the things that they look at is all the different things these people are doing. The problem that they normally don't do is they don't consider the fact that Branson did one thing at a time. You know, he got his airline business, for example, going to a point where he could hand it off to leadership that could carry it forward from where his vision had taken it, and then he moved on to something else. He didn't try to do 20 things at once like most small business owners try to do. I'm very, very keen on focusing on one thing until that thing takes off. And then you can focus on other stuff. And that's not to say that you can't have things on the side that you also work on, but one of the biggest things that small business owners have working against them is they don't really have the training that it would take to have the discipline to work on multiple things at once. And I don't know if we've ever spoken about this, but I really don't believe in multitasking. Computers can multitask. Because they're multi-threaded devices. Humans aren't multi-threaded devices. We really can't multitask. And as an example of that, one of the arguments I got from someone was, well, Lee, you know, I can walk down the street while chewing gum and reading my phone at the same time. My definition of tasking is putting 100% of your effort into it. So if you're walking down the street, you can do that almost automatically. Same with chewing gum. And if you look at our environment nowadays and see the people who are haphazardly walking around, oblivious to what's going on around them, you know very well that you can't look at your phone and pay attention to what's going on around you at the same time. So multitasking is like one of the biggest lies that anybody's ever been told, because you really truly can't do that. So getting involved in too many things is a huge obstacle for people.
So with the person that you were able to quadruple their business, what kind of things were you able to convince them to do? What did they have to do to get to that point?
The big thing was focusing on the back end. They had a great front end for their products and services, but they didn't have any kind of back end at all. And I have this process that I call the back end of no escape. So it's actually called the badass funnel of no escape, if I can say that on your show. But really what it's about is having a complete sales system that walks them not only through the front end, but also encouraging sales on the back. Now, there's plenty of people who can tell you that, hey, have an offer on the thank you page, but we tend to do things just a little differently than some of that. That's very basic. The funnel no escape process is about a 90-day system that follows up with people in multiple ways. And one of the things we did is I implemented the funnel no escape process into their sales system so that they could have multiple upsells, multiple offers, and done in such a way that it didn't seem intrusive to the initial buyer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So with this kind of process and stuff like that, because I think that's one of the things that a lot of people fall prey to is that, you know, they say, okay, focus on the funnel. I mean, there's certain people out there that are funnel hacking, and there's other people out mm-hmm. there that are product development. There's other people that are trying to help people to, you know, grow their list and do all these other things. But it really is, it's all about having a system, right? It's all about understanding how all those pieces work together. And I think that's one of the places that people kind of stumble.
It is, you know, in the first place I learned about systems, and I've heard many people use this as an example, was I worked at McDonald's as a teenager. I only could stay and work in there for about a month, but what I learned in that month was about the systems. Now, with the systems, teenagers can run a multi-million-dollar business and do it by looking at pictures on the wall, and that's fantastic. But then when I went in the military, I learned, wait, this is all about systems too. I was known as a tech controller or a systems controller in the military. So everything was about systems. Everything was about having a process. And that's really one of the strengths I bring to these larger corporations. And I even bring sort of the big business thinking to the small business I work with as well, because I help them implement what I call standard operating procedures. And that's terminology I bring from the military, that you need to have a daily, weekly, and monthly task list of what you do. And you need to have each of those tasks broken down into standard operating procedures, which is the how you do it part. And once you have those, it's really just a matter of ticking off the boxes every day and getting the stuff done. Forever, I've always said, even when I was working corporate jobs, that it doesn't take everyone 8 hours a day to do 8 hours worth of work. And surely when you have a system where you have your daily, weekly, monthly processes, and it's just ticking the box off and making the things happen, you can dramatically improve your efficiency by taking 2 to 3 hours to do what normally took you 8 hours to do before.
Love it. Lee, again, just blew me away. Great content. I know the audience is absolutely going to love it. So how can people contact you if they want to? What's the best way for them to get a hold of you directly?
The best way is just go right to my website, ruthlessmarketing.com. Or if you just want to know more about me, you can go to lee-collins.com. You can reach everything through Ruthless Marketing, though, so I encourage you just to go there.
Cool. All right, man. Well, once again, I so appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And you always, you know, deliver, you know, over and above what I expected. So, and I hope my audience appreciates you and your time as well. Thanks so much for joining us, man. This has been great.
Thank you, Brian. I had a lot of fun.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.